Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. Holy Spirit, brood upon us. Amen. Meet everybody at the point of their needs.
Amen.
Let the lost be saved.
Amen.
The sick be healed.
Amen.
The bound be loosed.
Amen.
The oppressed be set free.
Amen.
Let your glory overshadow us in this place.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, everybody say a big amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Kindly take your seat in God's presence. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5, the psalmist expresses thanks and appreciation to God, and we have to do the same. Amen. From the verse number 1, it says, bless affectionately, grateful praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. That means that affectionately be grateful and praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Amen. I don't know how you guys got to know that. I was reading from the Amplified. Actually, I was going to tell Amplified. You are in the Spirit. And all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Wow. Verse 2. Why should you do that? Bless affectionately, grateful, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Number 1. Why are we to do that? He said, and forget not what? One of all his benefits. That means that there are many benefits. And make sure that you do not forget one of them. Tell your friend, don't forget even one of the benefits of God. Tell your friend, don't forget. Even one. Amen. And it begins to tell us the benefits we should not forget. Number 1, who forgives every one of all your iniquities. Everyone. Everyone. So it means that the Lord does not exclude the forgiving of each one of our sins. Is he not a good God? There are people who can forgive you some, but they say, this one I won't forgive you. You did this one, that one I forgave you. But as for this one, and they will say, this one, as for this one, yeah, I will not forgive you. But the Bible says that the Lord forgives everyone of our iniquities. Now, the iniquities are hidden sins. See, so thoughts, evil imagination. That's why Jesus even said, when you look at a woman lustfully, you have sinned. So much as you may not have slept with a woman physically, there's an iniquity, and God forgives us all our iniquities. Number 2, who heals each one of all your diseases. The Lord is going to heal every one of your diseases. Oh, your amen is weak. He heals everyone. So if you had 4, he has healed 2. The other 2 will be healed. And it means that he's a God who is able to heal every kind of disease. May every disease bow to the name of Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear me say, may every disease bow to the name of Jesus. May every sickness bow to the name of Jesus. Now, when we talk about disease, we are not only talking about infirmity, but disease, anything that makes you uneasy, a disease. May the Lord heal you from every disease in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number 3, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? Hallelujah. Every kind of pit the enemy had planned to put in. You see, they put Joseph in the pit. He was pitted, he was potted, but eventually he was putted. Anybody that they put you in the pit, eventually you'll be putted. Because I see God picking you out of the pit and placing you on the mountaintop for a glorious exhibition. The Lord redeems our lives. You know, some other versions say he redeems your life from destruction. May you be delivered from every destruction. And who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, that shall be your portion. May the Lord beautify you. May you walk in dignity. May he crown you. And when you wear a crown, it is seen. So may the Lord exhibit your life in such a way that it shall be seen. Oh, it shall be seen. Your wedding will come and it shall be seen. You'll get pregnant and you'll give birth. It shall be seen. You'll start a business and the business will flourish. It shall be seen. The life of your children will do well in life. It shall be seen. As God will crown you with his loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving. You see how mothers show their children loving kindness, tender mercies. The way they hold them, how we hold babies. The Lord, I see God holding you that way. And verse number 5. Who satisfies your mouth? Eh? King James said with good things, but he said he satisfies your mouth, with your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. It means that at every age, you see, babies need milk. But when you are growing up, now you need jollof and banku. So your milk stage, God will give you your milk. When you need your fufu and a banku stage, you give you the banku. When you get your marriage age, he'll give you a good marital partner. When it comes to the time you have to build, he'll satisfy you with that. Let's say, who satisfies your mouth? Your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles. May the Lord renew your youth like that of an eagle. I say, like that of an eagle. Strong, overcoming, soaring high. May you not eat with the vultures. The vultures eat dead meat, but eagles eat fresh meat. May you enjoy freshness. May you mantle with wings as eagles. Whilst other birds are struggling to go up, you may the current of the wind lift you up. When the sun shines, may it favor you. May all the elements favor you. When the wind blows, may it blow good things unto you. The Bible says in Numbers 11, and the wind from the Lord blew quails. May the wind of the Lord blow good things into your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. When the moon shines, may it bring glorious things into your life. When the stars show up, may your star become brighter. May your life become brighter. May all the elements work for you. Wherever you pass, let it work for you. When people see you, may they do you good. May they show you kindness. May God bring people your way, your helpers your way, the Aarons and Hairs to lift up your hands, the Bezalels and the Holiabs, people of skill, people like the Memucans who will speak to kings on your behalf. May God bring helpers your way. From today, may you lack no helper in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. May he pick you from the back seat to the front seat, from the bottom to the top, from shame unto glory, from confusion unto orderliness, from sickness unto good health, from being a single person to being married, to having children, to becoming a grandparent. May the glory of the Lord be your portion. May the oil of the Lord come upon you. May there be a spiritual slip grip that the enemy cannot touch you, because you are the apple of God's eyes. May the eyes of the Lord behold you, watch over your life, protect you, and defend you from every evil. May you be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last, in Jesus' precious name. Somebody shout a big amen. Oh, give God some praise, somebody. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I see God going to do amazing things in your life. As I see God going to do amazing things in your life. Because of these things that God has ordained for our lives, we have to express our gratitude unto him. And you see, when somebody does good things for you, you commit yourself unto him. So today I'm talking about the call to join in the building of God's house. Someone said the call to join in the building of God's house. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. That is a possessive, pronoun. I will build my church. Amen. Yeah. I will build my church, which means the church belongs to God. Mine is possessive pronoun. I will build my church. It means that the church doesn't belong to a human being. No pastor owns any church. Amen. Nobody. God may use you to start. This church is not my church. I'm only a servant in his house. He just called me. Hallelujah. It is the church of the Lord. That's why he said unto Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what's the church? The church is the called out ones. It's in the Greek, it's called ecclesia. Someone say ecclesia. And ecclesia is the called out ones. Like people are called to legislate. So they are like, lawmakers, like parliamentarians. So, and they are special. And parliamentarians have immunities. Hallelujah. So when he said, I will build my church, it means that I will build my parliament. I will build my called out ones. And when we talk about a church, it's not a building. It's the people who have been called and washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified, being prepared for a great work. Can I have an amen? So Jesus is a builder. God is a builder. Someone say, God is a builder. He's building his church. He's building salvation. He's building healings and families and businesses. He is in the building business. Someone say, Jesus is in the building business. Now, every builder doesn't build alone. When you have a building to build, you would always call in an architect. You call it, get a structural engineer. You're going to call in other service, people who are into other services like carpentry, plumbing, and stuff like that. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, Jesus, the word of God says that you are my co-laborers or fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. Amen? What are we? God's fellow workers. The Amplified, expands it a little bit. We are God's fellow workers. Just one, I'm God's fellow worker. Yeah. We are fellow workmen, joint promoters. What are we doing? We are what? Joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. We are laborers together with God and for God. Isn't it that it's a blessing? So we are fellow workmen. We are joint promoters of the work of God. We are laborers together with God and for God. Amen. Laborers together with God and for God. When I started trying to build my house, I didn't have money. And you don't need so much money to build. Bible says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it's established, and through knowledge the chambers are filled. So I had this piece of land, and somebody was kind enough, my architect, to draw me a nice design, and I employed one mason, and I was a laborer. So I would go there. Yes, all the people there, I went to buy sand and stones myself. I didn't need any contractor. I bought sand, I bought stones, I bought blocks. I was the buyer and went and put it there. The only thing I didn't know was how to add one block onto another. I didn't have the skill, but I could tip sand. So I would go there and tip the sand and work with them till I was tired, and then I'd reach a certain portion, and then I would excuse myself, go and take my bath, and go and continue my ministry work. So I was doing both. So what was it? I had a fellow laborer with me to help me to build my house. Amen. And because this mason was my fellow laborer, I was always communicating with him. And he was special to me. So I want you to know that when you are helping somebody build a house or build something, he will be communicating with you, and you will be very special. May you become very special. Amen. So God respects builders of his church. Say it after me. God respects builders of his church. For the last time, God respects the builders of his church. Luke chapter 7, verse 2 to 6. Luke chapter 7, if you are in Luke. Luke chapter 7. Somebody say, let us look at Luke. Now, a centurion had a bond servant who was held in honor and highly valued by him. The King James says that this man, his servant, was actually, a bond servant means a slave. Is that right? And usually, these Roman soldiers, they don't have value for their slave. What is a slave? You know, a slave is not that important. If you are not well, go your way. If you die, they get another one and stuff like that. But this slave was so important. The Bible says that he had a bond servant who was held in honor. Ah, may you be a bond servant held in honor. May you be, you see, may you be a very dear worker to your boss. And may you be very special to your master. Amen. Yes. He was a bond servant held in honor. See, so a servant can live a life such that he will be held in honor. Most of the time, when you say somebody's, you are a servant, it's like you don't value yourself. But a servant is very important. Amen. It's very important. He was held in honor and highly valued by him. Highly valued by him. Who was sick and at the point of death. Then verse 3. And when the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and make his bond servant well. Wow! The guy was at the point of death. I'm sure that he had used, spent all money, and the medical doctors couldn't help in any way. And so he said, now, I've heard of Jesus. Why did he call Jesus? Because he knew that Jesus is a savior. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a deliverer. Ah, that same Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he did for people in biblical days, in historical days, he'll do it in our contemporary days for you. And it's your time also to receive this touch of Jesus. And when they reached Jesus, you see, the man himself couldn't go to Jesus. So he sent people and said, they should go and talk to Jesus. So they begged him earnestly. They begged him what? Earnestly. Wow! Saying, he is worthy that you should do this thing for him. You see, to go to somebody and beg and say that this brother deserves this. This sister deserves it. It means that truly the person has been doing something outstanding. And verse 5. For why is it so? For means because he loves our nation and he built us our synagogue at his own expense. Wow. He loves our nation. He loves Israel. And the church is a spiritual Israel. So when you love the church and you are a builder and you build synagogues, you have to build the church in your time of difficulty, angelic hosts and people will intercede and say, no, you shouldn't go. When Dorcas died, the women who she used to make clothing for and clothes said, no, we can't bury this good woman. No, 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 no. Then who's going to make the clothing for us? So you see, Bible says, produce your strong reasons. There are times that you will say something bad should not happen to somebody, or what is going on should stop. The nonsense must stop because this person is an invaluable asset. May God see you as an invaluable asset. May God see you as somebody very special. I said, may God see you as somebody very special. May it be said that when something is happening to your life, somebody will get up and say, ah, because of you, I'm going to go and do fasting. There's a lot of food in my fridge and in my store, but I am going to fast. I'm going to pray. Oh, goodness. Yes. He said, the man is worthy. Why? Because he loves our nation and he has built us. So the reason why these people now took it upon themselves to go to Jesus and plead for him to come was because of what this man had done. That he loved the things of God and he has built. They respected him. And when Jesus heard that, verse number 6, the Bible says that Jesus went with them. He went with them. Oh, may your plea reach Jesus. And may Jesus attend to your need. And I said, may Jesus attend to your need. I see Jesus coming your way. Coming to attend to your need. Coming to be a helper. So you see that the centurion servant got healed because the centurion was a church builder. So when you become a builder of the house of God, a builder of the kingdom of God, God will visit you. In Matthew 6:33, Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first, proton, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. So once you seek the kingdom, all the other things. You see, many of us, we put the cart before the horse instead of the horse before the cart. Seek the kingdom of God. And once you seek the kingdom of God, God will ensure that all other things, 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 all other things shall be added to you. Young lady, don't come to church because you are looking for a husband. That's a wrong motivation. You must come looking for God himself. Inside of God is a husband. Inside of God are children. Inside of God are every good thing that you do. Inside of God. Inside of God, inside of God, inside of God, inside of God. Because his name is the El Shaddai God, the all-sufficient God, the God who overrides, overrules, and overpowers any power in your family. He's a God who reverses negativities. And he's the God, when things are delaying, he accelerates it. So when you have this God, you have everything in your life. He's the all-sufficient God. So when you have God, you have sufficiency. Receive sufficiency. I said, receive sufficiency and enjoy of his sufficiency in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By the grace of God, I've seen many of the leaders today in the charismatic regime and even in some of the orthodox regime, they started from very low background. Didn't have nothing. Yeah, but because they sought God and his kingdom, God is a rewarder. I'm telling you, God is a rewarder. And because you are interested in building God's house, God said, I also build you a sure house. I'll wipe away your tears. When people think that you are being foolish and you are wasting your time, you are never wasting your time by serving God. Sometimes people get up and say, oh, they are chilling. Oh, let's go and chill. Oh, thank God it's Friday. Let's go and chill. And you are Fridays, you are having all night. And you are, after service, you know, when others are rushing home to go and watch telenovelas, Spanish people who are speaking tree. It's amazing. Mexican speaking tree. And you are sitting there, part one, you are there, part two, you are there, part three, you are there, part four. Yes, you are there, enjoying. And those also who are doing mybet.com, Betway Sports, Barcelona against Real Madrid, who is winning, wasting all your time and your money, doing a song, cha-cha. Cha-cha. No, you're wasting your time. And somebody's also there praying. Somebody is there going to church. Somebody is there evangelizing and doing everything. He's working, but also making sure that he's serving God. And you think he's wasting his time. When you serve in any institution, the institution pays you. They pay you according to your value. They give you a salary. But God doesn't give you a salary. He gives you a blessing. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And added no sorrow. May God bless you. I said, may God bless you. That is why in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 32, Jesus said, Peter went to Jesus and said, Lord, we have left all to follow you. We have yielded up and abandoned everything once and for all and joined you as your disciples, siding with your party. We are on your party. Those who serve and they serve various parties, when the parties are in power, don't they help them? Yes, they try to help them. At least, job for the boys. So if you are on the side of God's party, and God's party is always in government. And so there will be job for the boys, job for the girls. I tell you, God is going to help you. I said, God is going to help you. You can't leave everything and God will abandon you. Can I have an amen? He said, we have yielded up and abandoned everything once and for all and joined you as your disciples, siding with your party and accompanied you, walking the same road that you walk. Well, then Jesus said, truly I tell you, there is no one, are you here with me, who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake. 30, who will not receive 100-fold, 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Wumpe we na pediebe. Mese wumpe we na pediebe. Hallelujah. Peter said, Lord, you see, earlier on Jesus had promised them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to do this. He promised them many things. And so Jesus, you know, Peter at the point said, Lord, you give us all this promise. We have left all to follow you. So what is our gain in following you? Then he said, no one who has left father or mother, brother or sister, anybody who is involved in building God's house in any form and manner, hear me and hear me well. God, the God you serve, Unyamia wosum no dada, ono no beji wo, Unyamia wosum no dada, no 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 beji. Messi Wunyamia was some no dada Ampara no no beji wo Ampara Wunyamia was some no was some no da 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 da. He will pull you out of every rut. He will pull you out of every pit. He will pull you out of every shame, out of the miry clay. Set your foot on the rock to stay, and he will honor you. I say he will honor you. He will bless you. Amen. Yes. When we started this thing, we said we're giving our life to Jesus. People used to laugh at us. Oh, yes. Make a mockery of us. When you are even praying, they are mocking you. They are mocking you. But God will not let people laugh at you. Then it's not God you are serving. If truly it is God you are serving, then this God will make a way where there seems to be no way. My God will make a way where there seems to be no way. The Lord will change my life. He will change my destiny. I said, the Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. The Lord will change my life. He will change my destiny. The Lord will change your life. Give you Jesus. He will change your destiny. Hey, I used to sleep under an idol. Yes. In the night when you want to wee wee, you have to walk outside. And where I used to sleep, across, was where they used to, when people die in the family house, they go and put them. And as a little boy, the thing was very imprinted on my mind. So when, and it's very traumatic. Very, very traumatic. So in the night, much as you have to go out, you see that thing, just what they will soon to be. And nobody said, yeah. And to go to toilet, it's like you are now moving from here, probably somewhere, the red zone area. Kabahataya. In the night, I'm telling you for real. Some of you have not faced some things before. And the toilet that you are going to, sometimes people have gone to toilet all in front of the place. Before the hole, before you visit the hole, public latrine. And so you must take your stones. You are holding the stones. You are holding the stones. And then you put it there. Then you step on it. And then you put the other one. Then you step on it. Then you do a start. Then you collect the other one. Then you put it there. Then you set on it. So you are going like this. Just like this. Just like this. Just like this. Then you go and stand there. Before you squat. And then you see the gogomi around. Maggots are around. No, I said, I want you to know that how God has been good unto us. See, when you see some of us and we are jumping around and all those things, he said, are they mad? I'm not mad. By the grace of God, I went to university right after I had scholarships to go and study outside and go. But the call of God that if God has saved me, where am I going to spend my time out there? I have to, once he's called me, then I have to respond to the call. Can I have an amen? Yes. And he saved me from sleeping under the idol. Yes. Fridays, they have to do rituals and give the idol food. I was there. Used to eat some. But when they slaughter them, whatever, you do some of their chicken, even the chicken, you are only getting the chicken legs. The leg of the chicken and the neck, the head. On a good day, they add the neck when you have been a good boy. Today, what is chicken? You don't even like it. Tell somebody God is good. Amen. Like Bishop was preaching and said, when we have to eat ekwegbemi or oblayo, the milk is there. Then he fetch it like this. Then he says, I also jikakres wenu, the Fanta or something small. Then you add a lot of water to make sure that the thing is looking a little yellowish. But all I'm trying to say is that this our God, when you serve him, he will never put you to shame. We are not serving him for things. You are not serving him for clothing. You are not serving him for shoes. We are not serving him. You see, when you live a little more in life, you realize that things don't satisfy. Clothing don't satisfy. Shoes don't satisfy. Many things, they don't satisfy. Because the more you are looking for, the more it don't satisfy. And you want more and more and more. So may you look more for God. Anybody who leave father or mother, God will give you mothers. By the grace of God, I receive, my biological mother is dead. But God has given me a lot of mothers. My father is dead. My mother is dead. But I have got spiritual fathers. Fathers who take care of me. And mothers. Recently, I have a mother in France, Paris. She sent me even a message yesterday, communicating with me. Yeah. I go to places and then I am well received. I have brothers and sisters in South America, South Africa, in India, all over the place, because of the fact that I have decided to join myself as a co-laborer with our universal God. I see God blessing you. As I see God blessing you, seek first the kingdom of God. So the question is, what are you building? And who are you building? Who are you building up? And what are you building for the Lord? In the church, there are many things you can, there are people that you can be praying for and say, I am targeting these ones. I want to make sure that they are rooted and established in the Lord. When I got saved, I was blessed to have Reverend Dr. Fred Dibbe and their fiancé. They were not married. They were university students who took an interest in me, to follow up on me, to write to me in secondary school, to be encouraging me today. I'm standing here. If it wasn't for them. So you see, they helped to build me up. And that's why it is also my duty to build others up. When it's been done for you, amen. My first Christian camp, they gave me the money. University. And so one time I was just there and I said, ah, how were these people able to give me money? Because if I look at my daughter who has done even at the university, what has she got to be able to give something to somebody? And then these people gave their money to me to be able to go. May you become a builder. Amen. So there is something you can build. In the house of God, you can look around and say, ah, balustrades, I will do a certain distance. Maybe 1 meter, maybe 10 meters, depending on your strength. The tiles, say, how much money can I give? Say, I want to help in tiling the house of God. You see, when you tile your house, just maybe you and your only family members are coming there. How many people come to my house? Even my house, I don't go to every place. But when you tile the house of God and build the house of God, forever anybody who comes around, you become a partaker of their blessings. May you become a partaker of divine blessings. Hallelujah. And as you are helping to build God's house, God is going to bless you. You didn't hear me. I said God is going to bless you. God is going to honor you. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, 28 and 29, we see a scenario where David had taken care of the animals and the servants of Nabal. And instead of Nabal being kind to him, he didn't want to. So David was going to slaughter the people in anger. But a wise wife called Abigail, who heard it, rushed there, tried to go and present some food and things to them. And then she said to David, when she met David, she got down from her donkey. She didn't act like she was a big woman. She got down and bowed before David and said, forgive, I pray you, the trespass of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. May the Lord make you a sure house. Why? Because my Lord is fighting the Lord's battles. So chorus says, as you are singing, you are fighting the Lord's battles. Sweepers, you are fighting the Lord's battles. Branch pastors, you are fighting the Lord's battles. You are paying school fees, you are helping people around the prayer department, you are fighting the Lord's battles. Protocol people, you are fighting the Lord's battles. Are you hearing me? Every department, our media department, you are fighting the Lord's battles. You are fighting the Lord's battles. And because of that, the Lord will make for you a sure house, sure marriage, sure business, sure education, sure finances. Can I have an amen? Yeah, the Lord will make for you a sure house. Because evil has not been found in you. Then 29, look at what he said. Everybody read with me. Though man is risen up to pursue you and to seek your life, yet the life of my Lord shall be bound in the living bundle with the Lord your God. That means that when the enemy is pursuing you to kill you, you will be among the living. May you be bound in the bundle of the living. And the lives of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the center of a sling. Whatever is fighting you, may they be slinged out of your life today. May every shame be slinged out. May every confusion be slinged out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Samson was gifted and anointed, but he never fought for God. And he never fought for God's purpose. Samson was a very selfish person. Very anointed. One who could just hold pillars and break them down. But he did it all for himself. Whatever strength and grace God has given to you, it should not be just for yourself. You must fight the battles of the Lord. You must help. You see, there are people, it is only when the thing concerns them. And I've noticed something. Even when we come to church, you say, let's pray for souls. Let's do this. But let's pray against the witches from your background. Hey, let's do it. We are going to today we are going to finish them. as the prayer the leader is giving the prayer, say, oh, unjai prayer topic, you know, oh, kasado, do, let's start firing. Shabahata yakata, yabana hupuposa, ikalaba ya 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 ya. Yes. It's because of selfishness. You are not thinking about others. Selfish means you are fishing yourself. And when you fish yourself, there's nothing else. Emptiness. Think about others. Yeah, Philippians 2:4, it says, think about others. Tell your friend, think about others. In Genesis chapter 6, 13 and 14 and 22, Noah was instructed by God to build an ark. When he realized that there was so much sin in the world, God said, build an ark. Eh? The end of all flesh has come before me. I'm going to spoil the earth, so build an ark. Then in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, the Lord called Noah. When he had finished building the ark, at the time he was building the ark, there was no sign of any rain. But Noah built the ark by faith. May you live by faith. May you give by faith. And then when he built the ark, he said, come in. Someone say, come in. Yeah. For you have been granted the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe in and adhere to. Yeah. Is that it? Genesis 6. Hey, I think your machine has a problem. In Genesis 7, from my Bible, he said he was called in. Someone said he was called in. Yeah, he was invited. Now, God caused water to destroy the whole earth. Except those in the ark. The ark that Noah built was what saved him and his family. So the church you are building today is going to save you. Can I have an amen? What you are helping to build, out of it, salvation is coming. Help is coming. A marriage partner is coming. Oh, you girls, don't go and marry some bongo boy by the roadside. Some weed smoker who is because he has got some mustache and some car and things like that. Listen to me. When you are married, don't look just on the outward. You are not marrying the flesh. You are marrying a personality. It's a person you are marrying. Whether it's a kind person. Whether it's a considerate person. Yeah, it's not the flesh. Paul said, the flesh, there's nothing good in me. So check, what kind of person is this? The personality. That's what the trees call Misu Enibine. Subine Su Enibine. You must know. It's a personality. The person's face may not look very nice, but the personality is a good one. That is what you must look for. The personality of Christ in the person. The personality of holiness. The personality of kindness. The personality of goodness. Other than that, you will suffer. Amen. Tell somebody, be an ark builder. Yeah. So you need to, Noah built an ark, and the ark is symbolic of the house of God. God loves ark builders. May you join in the building of the church. Amen. You see, you are not a real God lover and a serious church member if you don't do anything in church. Yeah? Every part of the body does something for the body. In fact, any part of the body which doesn't do much for the body becomes a weight on it. Yes. When you see people who have got strokes and cold, you see maybe one part of the body needs. There's no blood flowing in that part of the body. So that part which is not working weighs. So when you are not doing much in the church, you are weighing the church down. You are actually being a problem. Like Bishop Saki said, yeah. Not that you have a problem, you have been a problem. So you must find something to do in the house of God. Can I have an amen? Yeah, fine. Tell your friend, find something to do. Glory to God. And know that according to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 to 3, the palace is the Lord. The temple is the Lord. Say, the temple is the Lord. The church belongs to God. Tell your friend, the church belongs to God. Yeah, the church belongs to God. David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Verse 2. Now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for the things of silver, and bronze for things of bronze. You know, and he continues on and on. So David loved God to the extent that he prepared a special offering. You see, when you are serving God, you must serve God with your talents, with your treasures, and with your time. Your treasures, your talents, and your time. Your three T's. Can I have an amen? And one of the key things you must pay attention to is your salvation and your call. Tell somebody, salvation and call. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I'm now come to start my preaching. All that I said was introduction. I just finished it soon. Now let's read it. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Everybody read with me. Who has saved us? Who has what? Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. He has saved us. Somebody saved us and called us. Have you seen that they saved and called, they go together? Saved and called. Say saved and called. Again? Again? You have been saved and called. You see, in countries like Singapore, once you are born a Singaporean, it means that you have been saved as a Singaporean, so you are automatically called into their military by the age of 18. You are saved and called. It's an automatic thing. I think we have to introduce it in Ghana. Amen. Yeah. Military training. It brings discipline. Me, I went to scouts. You know, scouts. Well, yeah. It gives you a certain kind of way of thinking and discipline. Yeah, military. Yeah. Saved and called. Muhammad Ali, the man who called Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, he went to prison. He was put in jail because at the time that he had to go attend to duty and go to the military, he didn't want to go. Once you're an American in those days, you have to go. I don't know whether they still have that thing. But so once you are saved, you must know that you are called. Say, I've been saved and have been called. Amen. Saved and called. Now, you must know that when you are there's a call to duty that you don't attend to it, you are in big trouble. When we're young, they call you and they say, you are supposed to do this. If you don't do it, you are in big trouble. Tell somebody, big trouble. In a particular country, there was a senior military person who was invited by the viceroy. The viceroy means a governor, you know, to attend a dinner. Then he sent a message that he was busy. He didn't attend it. And he got into big trouble. You see, there are some invitations, they are calls onto duty. Yeah. There are things that when you see, you see, like when you see a child fall into a gutter, it's a call. Yeah. You are a wicked person if you don't pick the child out of the gutter. Amen. When certain people invite you, it's a command. There are some invitations. Let me tell you from today. There are some you are there, and then you receive certain invitations. It's a command. Don't say, oh, they are just inviting you. It's a wedding. It's a wedding. It's an optional thing. It's not optional. You must attend. It's a call. You must respond to something. Tell somebody, it's a call. Yeah, it's a call. You see, in Esther chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, and 19 to 21, we see Queen Vashti, queen of a big kingdom. And the king was throwing parties for days. And the king said, when the people had come, he said, come and show your pomp and pageantry. Let people know that I have a beautiful queen. Verse 9, look at it. What the verse 9? Verse 9. Look at the verse 9, quick. Queen Vashti also made a feast. See, whilst the king was making a feast, Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to king, which belonged to what? King Ahasuerus. So where he was having the banquet belonged to the king. Yes. Where he was having a banquet belonged to the king. And she was a queen, and she was, could gather all those women because of the king. There are things that you that are given to you, and you become because of somebody. Amen. It's because of somebody. When you are called Mrs. so-so, and so, it means that the honor of that name is because of somebody. Hello? Yes, it's because of somebody. That's why people proudly say, I am Mrs. They don't mention their maiden name. I am Mrs. Yes. And everybody's greatness is attached to somebody. Yes, you must learn that. Your greatness, that is why you must learn how to make references. That is why in academic writing, you know, you go wrong if you don't cite. That's why there's something called bibliography. You must be citing. Other than that, you'll be held in contempt for the wrong things. Citing. Testimony, citing. Yes. And when the queen was invited, the queen refused. Continue for me. Quick. Let's do this and then we finish it. Okay? On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Habona, Bicta, Abakta, Zeta, Zakas, seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus. And what did they go and do? To bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials. For she was beautiful to behold. And verse 12, what did she do? But Queen Vashti, everybody read with me. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was furious and his anger burned within him. Yes. That's what many of us do. When they give you some position or something, no, you have become oga kata kata. Yes. They said, come. The man said, I have received visitors. Come and show how beautiful you are. Let it give me some joy and some pride. That me to my wife is looking something. The woman too said, I'm organizing women's ministry. I have a women's camp. Me too, I'm organizing my convention. Yeah, that's what many of you. Right now, a lot of people should have been here, but they are organizing their own thing somewhere. Yes, they come when they want to come. Well, I'm not, this one, we know what they are going to teach. Oh, is it Bishop Saki? We know what he's going to say. He'll make us laugh a little and share a few things. Eh? Is it Reverend Steve? Oh, we can't say Reverend. We are what? We are what? We are blessed. The man said, Reverend, we are blessed. And then later you call us and put a lot of oil. And then you come and say, I pray. That's all. We know it. I pray. Every year. If he doesn't pray, he will still give another form. Yeah. She. We are she. The importance yourself. You are importancing yourself. You see, you have missed it. Are you here with me? Queen Vashti, you are made a queen. You are accepted as a queen. Listen, if you are a wife, a great honor has been done you. Because the man could have decided not to mind you. No woman should get up and say, I showed you favor by marrying you. If you are, it's a favor, then don't forget. Amen. And the man too, you are blessed to marry the lady. But let us respect hierarchy. Are you getting me? Let's respect hierarchy. Let's respect orderliness. You see, yesterday, the very thing I've been telling you is the same thing Bishop Saki came to say. That when the sisters are there, you pray, then some man comes your way. And then you now make the man a sperm donor. You get one child, two children, three, then you change. You have changed. And especially when they have a little job on the side, that means that now I don't need you again. Yeah. And for most of the time, most women can just stay around. And if they feel a certain sexual feeling, they'll try to satisfy themselves in their own way. Meanwhile, you have married somebody and you took a vow and you say that as we marry, we are going to have sex. It's part of it. But now you don't want to have sex with the person. You want to push a person into sin. And especially the Christian, they say that, you say you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. You're a wicked wife. You're a bad person. You must change your mind. If you know you don't want to have sex, don't marry. Because sex is part of the marriage. It's a duty in marriage. Amen. Tell your friend it's a duty. Oh, some of you don't want to say it. I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Queen Vashti didn't attend to it. And so the king called his servants, and the one the servant said, no, what the queen has done is very bad. Because all the women are looking to the queen. So if she doesn't respond to the king, then it means that what will our wives do to us? If the queen doesn't respond, then we. So he said, no. Let there be a replacement. And guess what? A slave girl, a lesser known person, was chosen their place. So know that somebody is at the sideline in football, trotting. In fact, in football, they are praying that you break your leg. They are praying that something will happen. Then they will come and take over. So as you are there, the referee said, he said, well, they have shown a number. Number 11, come out. Me? Yes, you. You are out. You have lost it. Don't lose your position. Respond to your call. Tell somebody, respond to your call. Say it again. For the last time. Yeah. Queen Vashti lost her position because she didn't respond to the call. So the call is a serious thing. So if a human being can disqualify you and push you away, then when God calls you to do his work, you see, the other day I was telling somebody that I said, you'll never prosper the way you have to prosper until you respond to the call of God. Yes. You will use your energy. Not everybody has been called to full time. But the call that you have been called, if only you accepted it, then do it. If only you accepted, and God has called every one of us to do a particular thing in the house of God. Bible says, cursed is the one who puts his hand on the plow and then he removes his hand. You see, when you take, we are fighting, and then your sword, instead of drawing your sword, you put your sword in the scabbard, it means you want other people to be killed. You don't want the fight to go on. We must all fight. So those of you who are gone on leave. Hello? When we go on leave, don't we resume? Ask your friend, are you on leave? Amen. Yeah. You see, we've done some. You must serve God to the end. I said you must serve God to the end. You must serve God to the end. Amen. You never know that it is your service that is keeping you alive. It's your service that is protecting your marriage. It's your service that is protecting your children. It's your service that is protecting your business. It's your service. Can I have an amen? Tell somebody it's your service. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise. So anybody who has been called, who has been saved, if you have been saved, you have been called. So you need to find out, what have I been called to do? And if you have been called to sing, sing diligently. Sing with all seriousness. Nobody should pamper you, coax you, whatever. go and learn, listen to many songs, whatever, know the songs, be diligent, be outstanding. Can I have an amen? Just want to be outstanding. Now, if you don't respond to your call, today I'm going to show you something. Numbers chapter 65. Sorry, Isaiah 65 verse 12. It's a very serious thing. When I saw it, I started shaking. For not responding to a call, eh? You don't know that it's very disrespectful for somebody to call you and not to answer and not to respond. Those of you, when you receive phone calls, you see the phone calls and you don't respond. Maybe at that time you couldn't respond, but you must answer. You must call back. Because a human being is the one calling you. And especially if it's a person of authority. If you are called, you must respond. And God is calling us. Say, go into all the world and preach. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's a call. Call to be fishermen. And when you don't call, look at it. I'm going to show you something. And then we'll look at one or two things and we are done. Verse 11. Start from verse 11. Hayaba katayaba. Verse 11. Start from. Do it in the Amplified to start with. Or from Amplified. Amplified. By you who forsake the Lord, who forget and ignore my holy mount, that is Zion. And the church is Zion. Is that not it? Eh? According to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. So I'm quoting scripture to let you know it. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, eh? To an innumerable company of angels, to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Yes. You who forsake the Lord. Eh? To forsake somebody means what? To turn your back to the person. And who forget and ignore my holy mountain. And who prepare a table for God. That is the Babylonian God of fortune. That means that you are after fortune. Instead of going after God, the time for God, you are after fortune. And who furnish mixed drinks for many, the God of destiny. Planning for your whatever and your party time. He says, I will destine you, says the Lord, for the sword. Eh? And you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spoke, you did not what? Listen or obey. But you did what was evil in my eyes. And you chose that in which I did not delight. See, Nelda, have you seen how serious the thing is? He said, I will destine you for the sword. Eh? In the days of Julius Caesar and co, there's something called decimation. Someone say decimation. Where they'll count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to the sword. They slaughter you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. They'll decimate you. They'll nail you down and they'll kill you. Decimate you. And here God also is saying that you will be decimated. You will be given over to the sword. The reason why you'll be given over to the sword is because when I called you to do something. I called you. I saved you and called you. I saved you and called you. You did not answer. You are about your own business. You are creating your own fortune. You are trying to marry. You are trying to go to America. It's all good. But you must respond to God. Amen. He said, because of that, I will slaughter you. You didn't do what was right in my eye. You did what was evil in my eyes. Is somebody here with me? Am I preaching to you? If and when God calls you to the ministry or to do something for him, say yes quickly. Just one day. Yes. Yes. You see, the call of God sounds like something casual. Yeah. When someone was called, it's a bit casual. It sounds casual. Eh? When Elijah called Elijah, it was casual. He threw his mantle and said, what does it mean? But he understood it. It's something casual. Some of you in dreams, something in many ways that God has put something ahead of, you must be more involved in the church. But you are sitting at the fringes and you are commentating. And you are, even the things you do tend to discourage those who are in the center of play. You see how we discourage Asamoah that he decided it's enough. The man has scored goals at the day he spoiled the goal. That's it. They insulted the man, even his mother got some. Yes. Yeah, his mother got some. The guy was angry. He said, if you insult me, it's okay. But my mother too. He said, these are ungrateful people. Yeah, very ungrateful. Are you here with me? Failure to respond to a call has a lot of implications. One Indian pastor who came around, he said, when you are there and you are even cooking and your pastor calls you, stop the cooking. You come and respond. And it's very true. He said, stop it. Stop it. You know, I learned a lesson out of this. When I was in secondary school, I think form five, and somebody called me, a friend called me, that the auntie wasn't well. You know, and I was to go and pray for the person. And I said, oh, let me learn some physics, let me learn something. I'm going to take exams, so let me do that. By the time I decided to respond to the call, the woman had died. Look, I felt so bad. And I told myself, now, every call, when I hear it, I'll respond to it quickly. The failure of a doctor to respond to a call of duty, by giving excuses, nearly cost the life of mommy. Her own doctor, paying everything. At the time when she had to deliver, the doctor said, she's on leave or she's not on duty or something. She was not. Meanwhile, he wasn't living far. But God had always shown me that when people are pregnant, you must pray for them till you see the baby and they are fully recovered. So I kept praying and praying. I didn't even know what was going on, but I was praying and praying and praying. Later, the doctor said, your wife went to the gate of death and came back. And incidentally, the doctor's wife was mommy's classmate. She didn't know. Sometimes you don't know how you are treating people. Your failure to respond to a call. Your failure to respond to the call of God. You don't know its implications. Amen. We went to preach some 20 years ago, this year, 21 years ago, in a certain village. Last year, when we went to preach there, one woman came and gave a testimony. He said, when you came here 20 years ago, I was crippled, lying in a room. But as you were preaching, the power of God entered my room and then energized me. Today, here am I walking. So if I didn't respond to the call of God, and I said, there's no nice hotel in the village. No nice hotel in the village. No WC in the village. You have to go to free range or heat homes. And you say, no. For my status, I think I need a proper hotel. I wouldn't have gone. And look at the state of the woman. I hope you get what I'm saying. So our failure to respond to the call of God is leading many people to go to hell and destroy many people's lives. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are just in a hurry to get things. Alexander the Great, I'm sure many of us have heard of him. He fought worthless battles at the end of his life. Worthless. Amen. Yeah. He did many things. But he had a certain wish. After conquering kingdoms, he died at age 32 as king of ancient Macedonia. He ruled for just less than 13 years. He conquered hundreds of kingdoms. He was a very powerful person. By the end of his life, he had these wishes. Number one, he said at his death, he should be carried by only his doctors. Which means that no physician is powerful enough to save people from the clutch of death when it's time to die. No vitamins, nothing will save you. Not even the doctors can save you at the time when you have to die. So he said that when I die, may my doctors, and obviously a king's doctors may be the best, may they be the one to carry me. Don't take your life for granted. Number two, he said, the path leading to the grave should be strewn with gold, silver, and precious stones. So it means as we're going, wherever it is, on the way to the cemetery or to the grave, gold and silver, dollars, pounds, euros must be on the road. They must put it on the road. And he said, not even a fraction of gold will come with me. I spent my whole life chasing power and wealth. And whatever I end in the earth remains here. Jifa, whatever you are earning here will remain. One day, when you go, this is your wig, it shall be removed. You know where this wig, everything. It's amazing. When you die, you are not even responsible for what you wear. Some people choose what you wear. Yeah. This is your nice watch. You know where it. The moment you die, say, hey, she's gone. I'm wearing it. Whilst you are there. Or you don't know. They are taking over. They start sharing your things. Before. They start sharing your things. You are not taking anything. So what I'm trying to say is that all the things we claim we are fighting for, we are taking nothing away. Number three. Thank you, my dear. He said his hands should keep dangling out of the coffin. Usually, when people die, they put their hands on their chest and in the inside the coffin. He said, no, may his hands be outside the coffin. Are you here with me? And he said, I want people to know that we came empty-handed in this world and we'll go empty-handed. I don't know whoever was born and then when he was coming, he was carrying a house. Was carrying gold, you came empty-handed, you are going empty-handed. And his last words were, when you bury my body, don't build any monuments, but rather keep my hands outside so that the world knows that the person who won the whole world had nothing in his hand whilst dying. Are you here with me? Sir Ken Robinson said, what you do for yourself dies with you when you leave this world, but what you do for others lives forever. What you do for yourself dies with you when you leave this world, but what you do for others lives forever. In John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me. The night comes when no one can work. What is the night time? The night time is when we are no longer free or able to be active in ministry. A time will come, you may not be active. Hello? A time will come, you may not be able to walk the way you can walk. Many years ago, more than 40 years ago, I could stand in tractor more than 24 hours meandering through, trees in the Afram plains to go and preach. I wonder whether I can stand 24 hours. I used to walk over 40 miles in a day, carrying my stuff and going through elephant grasses to go and preach. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, 1 to 6, remember the Lord in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Amen. So there's a night time that comes upon a person's life. Your night time can be a time of pregnancy. When you are pregnant, you can't be strong and running around much. When you are sick, in your old age, there are things you cannot do. When you have an accident, when you are in a certain condition, and even when you die. That's why Jesus said what? Work whilst it is day. The night comes when no one can work. So your night season will be coming. Everybody, your night season will come. Ecclesiastes 12. Quickly, let's finish that and I'm done for the day. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Remember also your creator, that you are not your own, but you are his property now. In the days of your youth, you see, many young people, they don't mind God. They think that I have a long life. But listen, when you go under a big tree, you are going to see different types of leaves. You see yellow leaves, which is middle-aged people. You see brown leaves, which is people have grown very old. And then you see the green leaves. That is young people. You go to the mortuary, you'll be so surprised that you will see babies there. You will see children there. When the wind of life blows, anybody can go. So whilst you have life now, may you live your life in such a way that one day God will say, come unto you, thou good and faithful servant. You use your talent well. You serve me well. You live for me well. And that is why today I want to urge you to join, to practically join those who are helping to build the house of God. Amen. Those who are intercessors, those who are contributing, let your money go towards the advancement of the building of the house of God. Can I have an amen? Let's join people who have given of themselves. When join the John Wesleys, the Billy Grahams, and the various men of God of today, let us give of our hearts, let us give of our strength, let us give of our resources. When you wake up, pray for the lost and step out. Don't only pray for yourself, but pray for the lost and pray for your community and pray for your friends and pray for your neighbors and go to them and preach your gospel and pay every price to bring them to the house of the Lord. Because a day is coming, all your suits, you will not need them. All your shoes, you will not need them. Some of you, even there are things you are not already wearing because they are getting outmoded, or either your foot has become bigger or smaller or something. There's something. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. Let's read this. And we are done. Oh, Jesus. 1 Timothy. As for the rich, as for the rich in this world, charge them. Let's read together. 1, 2. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others. Do you know that sometimes rich people can look down on others? Be careful when God starts blessing you. The reason for your blessing is so that you lift up the one who is down there. Not to compare and then look at yourself and say, don't get close to me. We are not on the same level. If it wasn't for the church, can you go? So there are some people, even in the church, as you go and sit down, and they move. You think I don't know? I've been a pastor for some time. I've been watching. And you don't want to even sit by other certain people. Yeah. And so when those people are not even around, you don't feel free. You want to sit by a certain kind of, don't be a clique something. It's a family. And everybody, you must love everybody and care about everybody. And everybody is important because they were washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Yes. Yes. We are all objects of grace. Objects of grace. I told you that we used to go to toilet. The bathroom. Mommy, if you don't know, I'm telling you. Bathroom, we started bathing. You bath and there's a hole there. And so when you finish the bathing, you fetch the thing and go. You fetch your water out. You fetch your. So can you imagine after you finish bath, you are fetching the thing, you are throwing them out, and you are throwing them out. Won't the thing even go around your hands again? You want to go to toilet, you are going to toilet outside. On a good day, then there's scrubber, chamber pot. But most of the time, you are related outside. Now, by the grace of God, you have a place where you take 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, you sit on it. And you can even sleep on it. By the public toilet, how can you sleep on it? If the scent and even the gogomi, the maggots that will be going on your legs. And then today, as God has blessed you, and you have your own room, you have your own bed, and you see your brother, you see your sister, you see someone say, you are not at my level. Please, show us your level. And may God help us so that we can come to your level. Show us your level. We are objects of God's grace. You can have so much money, but your problems are too many that you can't even enjoy it. Even a pastor for some time, you see people slightly get closer and say, hey, Lord, I thank you for what you are giving to me. Oh, I thank you for the gari and shito I'll be eating you. Yes, people can eat some things. You got all every money. So don't be arrogant. Read the scripture. Let's read it. And we are finishing right now. Haya kaya baya. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, nor to set their hopes on what? Uncertain riches. So riches are what? Uncertain. Listen to me. I know somebody who could wear those days. Hollandaise. 3 times a day, and in a month, she hasn't got back to the very first one. But at the point in time, what to eat was even a problem. Yes. And if you doubt it, after some time, look at even some of the parliamentarians when they are in power. And later, when they get out of power and they haven't got into power for some time, then you see that levels. It don't change. Levels don't go down. Levels don't go down. Don't set your hopes on uncertain riches, but on God. Tell a friend, set your hope on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with what? Everything for our enjoyment. Oh. Are you here with me? He richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything. Verse 18 and 19. Charge them. Everybody read with me. Charge them to do good. Tell your friend, do good. To be rich in what? Good works. So when the churches need something, say, be rich in good works. We need new speakers. Rich in good works. Monitors. We need balustrades. You are there. We need this. You see somebody with a need, straight, quickly. Be rich in good works. To be liberal and generous of heart. Ready to share with what? Others. This is Christianity. Verse 19. In this way, laid up for themselves the riches that endure forever. As a good foundation for the future, so that they may grasp that which is life indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me bring my message to a close by telling you the blessing of serving. Is that right? Still in Isaiah 65, the verse 13. When you serve, 13 and 14, these are the blessings that come. Oh, Jesus. Are you serving? I will worship you. Lift you high above the earth and the heavens. I will worship you. Hey, lift you high above the earth and the heavens. You are God.
Lemara la mashera, you are Lord. Yes, you are. I will worship you. I will worship you. Lift you high, lift you high above the earth and the hell. I will worship you. I will worship. Lift you high, lift you high above the earth and the heaven. You are God. You are.
Your mouth is a gateway to heaven for somebody. Your mouth. That's why you must share the gospel. Can I have an amen? Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Lay hold on eternal life. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. May this be said of you that I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of glory. May we all look for that crown of glory. Because, listen, when the queen died, I don't know whether you all watched it. The moment she died, they no more, and they were removing the things from her, they no more called her queen. Say, Elizabeth, whatever. Then they removed this, and they removed this, and they removed this. She was reduced to nothing. In our language, when people die, they don't even mention the name Ebi. They call it Azim, Emunum, Adanazi. You have turned into a thing. So if you don't know who you are, when you are asleep, let somebody take a picture of you. The way you can open your mouth, the way water can be dripping from your mouth, the way you can be snoring like an elephant that is angry. A lion. One time I was on a flight and somebody was there and was sleepy. Aeroplane crew woke up from a door. I disorganized your snoring small way. On the flight, the guy was as a. And then he had a heavy body too. So he was leaning on the. Then you shake him a little. Then. It's a wrong. Yeah, so from now, decide that the years ahead of me, I'm going to give it unto the Lord. I'm going to serve my God. I'm going to live for Him. Now, when you are living for Him, what are the blessings? This is what I'm just going to read for you. Isaiah 65:13-17. And then we are done quickly. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant, you see, the 12 says that because you did not what? Respond to me, what have I done? I will give you to the sword. Is that right? But this is what will happen to my servants. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. So those who don't serve God, eventually you'll be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. May God feed you. May God give you to drink. May God cause you to rejoice. He says, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. May shame be far away from you. 14. My servant shall sing for joy. May you sing for joy. As a servant of God. But he said, you shall cry out for pain and sorrow of heart, and shall wail and howl for anguish, vexation, and breaking of spirit. Have you seen it? This is what happens to those who don't serve God. Verse 15. And you will leave your name to my chosen. Your name, your important name, you leave it to my chosen. To those who use it for a curse. You use your name, you leave your name, and a curse will come to you. And there are many curses in the world. And the Lord God will slay you. I shall not serve him. But he will call his servants by another name, as much greater than the former name, as the name Israel was greater than that of Jacob. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Is he blessing you? Because of that. Now jump to 16 quickly. 16. So it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying, may the God of truth and fidelity, the Amen, bless me. Why? Because you are serving God. May the Amen bless you. And he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth and faithfulness to his promise. The Amen. Because the former troubles are forgotten. May all former troubles be forgotten. May they be hidden from your eyes. Verse 17. Behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Continue quickly. 18. But be glad and rejoice forever. May you be glad and rejoice forever. Verse 19. I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and the sound of weeping will no more be heard in it, because you are serving God. Verse 20. There shall no more be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who dies prematurely. You will not die prematurely. For the child shall die 100 years old. But a sinner who dies when only 100 years old shall be taught only as a child. And it's a curse. 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. This is your blessing. Receive. You will build houses. May you build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit. May you eat of the fruit of your labor. They shall not build and another inhabit. You know, some people, they build, but they never inhabit it. But because you are serving God, you are going to build your three-bedroom house, your five-bedroom house, in the name of the Lord Jesus, with automatic gates, and you will enter into it. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. Days of trees are old. Trees are old. So it means that you live a long life. Slap somebody and say, I'll live a long life by the grace of God. Amen. And he says that, and my chosen and elect shall long make use of and enjoy the work of their hands. That means that you enjoy the work of your hands for a long time. May you enjoy blessings for a long time. It's a blessing for answering the call of God. Receive a blessing for a long life. And 23, they shall not labor in vain. May you never labor in vain. Or bring forth children for sudden terror or calamity. Have you seen it? So people who serve God, they will never labor in vain. Just one, I will never labor in vain. Amen. It means that you will enjoy of the fruit of your labor. And you shall not bring forth for sudden terror or calamity. It means that you are not going to have children who are going to be a problem. Or when you have a child, there are times that some people, the moment they give birth, then there's a problem that comes to them. They can't walk again. There are women who are giving birth, they couldn't walk again. They gave birth and some problem came. But as for you, you will give birth, you'll come back, your children will be okay, you yourself, you'll be okay, you'll go again, and you'll come, you'll go again, and you'll come, you'll go again, and you'll come. You'll go 8 times. Amen. Oh, you don't like the 8 times? Yeah. 8 times is extra. Rita, don't you like 8? 8 is good. It's good to have a lot of. Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? I came to tell you that God wants you to give your life to him. Serve him with all your hearts. There's a blessing. There's a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve him. When you read Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. He said, is it, people have said, is it worth it to serve him? He said, yes. There's a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve him. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. One of the difference is that when those who don't serve him, when they're about to die, they are afraid. When they're about to die, they are screaming. When they're about to die, you know, sometimes you ask the nurses. Yeah? When they're about to, you see them, hey, they are coming for me, oh, hey, you know, they are screaming. Have you seen some before? Yeah, you are a nurse. And those who are Christian, angels are coming for you. May angels come for you. Rejoicing in the Lord. May that become your portion. May God bless you. May God increase you. May God honor you. May God show you mercy. May God show you kindness. May you live for him. May he deliver you from evil. Every evil assigned against you because you are serving the Lord. May the Lord deliver you from every evil. All witches that have planned it to eat you up, may they lose their tenacity. May they lose their teeth in Jesus' name. Any snake that has been sent to choke you up, any python sent to choke you up, today we cut off its head in Jesus' name. Any cobra and viper that was released to poison you, today we destroy their influence in Jesus' name. When the enemy sits in conferences against you, may there be confusion in their own camp. The weapons they had to use against you, may they pierce their own selves in Jesus' name. Whatever was set against you, may the Lord turn it around for your good. May your heavens be open. May God release rains upon your life. Fresh rains. May your life become refreshed. May the glory of the Lord become your portion. May God visit you in your going and your coming. In the name of Jesus. As I'm finishing the eighth month, may God bring freshness unto you. Eight means extra. May he bring extra blessing. Extra honor. May God give you extra time. Hezekiah was going to die, but God gave you extra time. May God give you extra time, extra joy, extra honor, extra peace, extra promotion in the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord, who is a way maker, make a way for you in the name of the Lord Jesus.